Welcome to the Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup, being brought to you by Nebraska Soybean Farmers and their Checkoff. I'm Susan Littlefield, and there might be some laughter, some humor in today's program as we really dive into what's going on in these markets. Kind of a whole lot of nothing. Some might describe it as a manure spreader ready to head out to field as we look at everything that's going on in this trade. We'll also talk about what is the true headline. I love this statement because I think unfortunately, as of late, whether you're looking at grains or livestock, there's been a lot of headline chasing. We're going to find out what was the movers and shakers in this week's market coming up right after this.
Meet the champions of innovation in the heart of Nebraska. They're not just farmers, and they nurture more than just crops. Pushing boundaries and turning challenges into opportunities. They trade knowledge and know-how, and their dedication doesn't end at harvest. It's in your every bite and every drive. The future of food, fuel, and fiber, and the future of Nebraska starts right here.
And welcome back. As you can see, joining us is Heather Ramsey. Heather is with the ARC Group and Sam Hudson with Corn Belt Marketing. And I first want to start out, this is kind of something we started doing on this program, in a very short nugget, give me your takeaway of what you saw within the market trade for the entire week. And Heather, we'll start with you.
One nugget for this week. I really think that the market has had a lot of delayed reaction to kind of what's going on in the energy side of the world when we look at what's going on between Israel and Iran. So that's been some delayed reactionary trading, which has done a lot to influence what kind of the money thinks might be going on. So that's probably the biggest takeaway from this week, in my opinion. And we traded both sides, both positive and negatively, in regards to that issue. So that's probably what I would pick, Susan.
All right, Sam, what about for you?
Well, I think we're finishing up on the nugget we've been chewing on for quite a while here. You know, we're finally getting prepared to go into our seasonal weather markets. You know, how we get this crop in over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I think is going to be pretty influential on you know, price direction. As you mentioned, the headlines are about the only thing to trade here. And we get some short-term knee-jerk reactions there, a little bit of short covering here and there at a time where the farmer is not going to really be real active in terms of deliveries. And so I think that paves the way for, you know, a continued nothing trade here. But if we continue to see wet forecasts into early May, I think that could change a bit.
All right, you brought it up. Let's talk about it. I want both of your takeaways on just being headline chasers. I think in the last couple of weeks, that is what seems to be the market mover or something to latch onto. Is it because there's just a whole lot of nothing out there, so we have to grasp onto headlines?
Yeah, I believe that's the case. You know, we continue to talk about the massive fund short position, but, you know, despite all of this, we don't see a real change in our overall fundamentals. And that is because of these supply buffers that we have. When you have a, you know, 2+ billion bushel corn carry out, you got to erase a little bit of some of that before there's even reason to put risk premium into it. You know, the first reason for that would be to not get the crop in. And like I mentioned, if come the first of May or first week of May or end of first week of May, we still have, you know, 2 weeks of wet weather ahead of us. And I think you can start talking about that. But at this point, you know, we're still on pace.
What about you, Heather?
Well, I think Sam's right. And I also think one of the other pieces that goes into this discussion is supply as a whole, global supply. We are still in a wide debate on whose number is right and whose number is wrong when it comes to the Southern Hemisphere. And quite frankly, until somebody moves the needle on those numbers, and it's probably going to have to be a USDA WASD decision, because that is who the world kind of looks to as that global supply demand expert. Right. So until that needle gets changed, I don't think funds have any reason to really look at, you know, speculating on what that Southern Hemisphere actual yields could be. So we'll continue to see this sort of like, well, today, you know, CONAB said this, and tomorrow maybe, you know, Buenos Aires will say something different. And those are all just little headline blips, to Sam's point, until we actually change a supply number that is effective at reducing a global supply number. I just don't think there's enough momentum anywhere to piggyback more than a, sometimes more than a 30 minute trade, you know, off a headline. So yeah, there's definitely some need to see some drastic, something drastic in the supply side of the equation.
And I find it interesting as well, since you're talking about that, you know, I look back to the early morning pre-open on the trade for a Friday, and this whole thing between Israel and Iran has been sitting there for a week plus. We finally see some stuff come to fruition that hit the headline news, and that seems to be what the markets grabbed a hold of pre-open and even into a little bit towards the mid-session. Kind of this geopolitical, we know, is going to have some huge factors.
Yeah, and we've seen these geopolitical events hit the market and affect the market before, obviously. I mean, we look at how we initially started and the reactions we initially had in the Russia-Ukraine war that is still ongoing. So any little headline is enough to move us, like I said, and like you mentioned, for, you know, typically it's a couple hours of trade. I'm honestly very surprised at how strong the market stayed all the way through our Friday trading session. That began in the overnights, you know, some retaliation type stuff happening overseas. And whenever we see a threat or a bump based on a headline, I guess my point here being that I've got customers and I'm saying, like, if you like it, then you got to sell it. This stuff never hangs around very long. It doesn't seem like when we rebound to the top side. So until the funds have something that really forces them to reevaluate the short position in a significant volume, this is kind of just the norm. Trading headlines one day and trading the opposite headline the next. So
Sam, would one of those headlines be the fact that E15 got its EPA waiver again for the summer?
I think it certainly helped, especially in the fact that you look at, you know, crude oil rallied about $3.50 at the onset of the news last night. And then, you know, this morning was back lower and the grains were able to hang on to some of those gains. You know, this wet forecast could have a little bit to do with it as well as the delivery process and the spreads activity that we're seeing. But, you know, we'll see how much longevity this has. You mentioned, you know, being able to really flip the script and you know, change the dynamic. An EPA announcement on E15, especially 20 days at a time, is not going to really change anything. I think this has got more political linings to it than anything. We've been sitting here waiting on it for 3.5 years, and I just don't think it's a real game changer. I think what's coming down the pipe and the policy there is definitely going to be more meaningful to our markets here moving forward.
Okay, we've got the Western Corn Belt versus the Eastern Corn Belt when it comes to planting progress. Heather, what are you hearing from your clients as they talk about where they're at in this year's process?
Well, you know, we've definitely gotten started. I would say there's probably 10 to 20% of my clients have gotten started on something. We were fortunate enough to get a little bit of moisture. So anywhere from 20 hundredths to an inch 20 is kind of the ranges I'm hearing in my client book. And then it's been a little bit cloudy, not enough sun quite to dry us all the way out. So we've had a little bit of a pause here this week. I did notice we were back in the field in quite a few places late yesterday afternoon and then today. So making a little bit of progress. I will say this. It's probably the nicest it's been planting in several years.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's, I have to say, thanks to Mother Nature for dumping 16 inches of snow on us in January. So that is probably our only saving grace right now. And it's definitely looks promising now. But unfortunately, all these weather patterns that keep getting predicted, I mean, I must just sit in a hole where we don't get rain. So unfortunately, some moisture in the next little bit would actually be nice and well, definitely welcomed.
All right, Sam, what about you? What is going on with the soybeans in your neck of the woods?
I would say a feverish pace, at least, you know, if you take Thursday last week up until, you know, just a couple of days ago. Now we've got some rain and cold temperatures moving in for the weekend that I think is going to put the brakes on pretty much everything. But, you know, we've got producers anywhere from 0% planted in beans all the way up to 75% planted. We missed a few rains in there. They got going. Conditions were really good. And, you know, when you miss rain like that, you just keep going as long as it's right. A lot more reluctance to get started that aggressively with corn, though. You know, again, with the temperatures, the way they are, the date on the calendar, there's just not a lot of desire to go out there and go in subpar conditions, especially when you look at the fact that, you know, next week temperatures don't really warm a whole heck of a lot. We get a little bit more closer to normal, but, you know, 45 to 55 degrees doesn't light anything on fire when you got until, you know, May 15th before you really got to get nervous.
Heather, what about export potentials? I know we had the Philippines, we had Mexico in buying grains this week. Can we keep that going next week?
You know, I'd like to think that we've actually picked up quite a bit of momentum here on exports over the last, well, hard to argue, probably the whole marketing year. I mean, we're ahead of schedule versus, or ahead of pace versus what everyone kind of expected here. I think strategically priced kind of around the globe, you know, we're competitive. We are not as much of an outlier from an export pricing standpoint as maybe where we've been in the past year to 2 years. So that's extremely helpful. I also think when you look at who knows they have exportable stocks, I mean, obviously we do. Obviously we know that. And there's a lot of question in some of our other global exporters that, you know, they just not knowing exactly what they have to export and what is coming out of the field. So it helps us that we are consistent, we are steady, we are a known type of situation. It helps that from a pricing standpoint, we're a lot more competitive than we used to be. And we're definitely very reliable. And then when you start looking at like freight rates and things like that, especially our local neighbors, I mean, there's no way around looking at us as the best purchasing, you know, potential there. So yeah, I'm hoping we can keep the momentum because we've had a really good push here over the last like 2 months for sure. A really good push on those corn exports, especially.
All right, Sam, I wanted to ask about the cattle on feed report that came out on a Friday afternoon. What was your takeaway?
You know, the placements number, I think, is going to get all the attention. I think, you know, it's one of the lowest figures on record, actually. And so when you combine that with the fact that we've taken a pretty good amount of premium off of this market with the avian bird flu, you know, scare in the headlines there, how we digest that will be quite interesting. And, you know, we talk about getting this crop in and the way we could change prices good for good or for better or for worse, really, over the next month in corn. And you can really see quite a lot of volatility there. So I would assume we, you know, paved the way for a higher open with this number. The question is, how carried away do they get with it, and what is the story and headline look like next week to facilitate you know, continued buying?
Oh, there we go. Another headline we can grab come Monday.
That's right.
Thank you so much to both of you for joining us this week. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's this week's Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup.